Revelation 4:8 says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That will be our sermon song that we are going to sing. And this is a little different. It has Jesus Reigns, a little bit of a chorus in there. But what a great thought when we all get to heaven. We're just going to have Jesus reigning over us. His light's going to be around. We're just going to be worshiping at his feet. So what a beautiful thought. Please rise as you're able and join us in singing, "Holy, holy, holy."
Early in the morning, our soul. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the teaching I offer this morning is blessed by the guidance of your Holy Spirit for your glory and for strengthening the faithfulness of your people. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at Matthew chapter 25 this morning, if you look at verse 1, it begins, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like." So these parables are pointing us to some understanding of the end times. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like, and then Jesus offers a parable. Then in verse 14, Jesus says, again, it will be like. So once again, he's talking about what the kingdom of heaven will be like, and then he offers the parable of the talents. Jesus, in these three, is teaching about the end times, pointing people towards the final destination, the blessing of eternal life that God promises in his kingdom. And Jesus is teaching people how to get to that final destination through these parables. Those three parables: parables of the 10 virgins, parable of the talents, and parable of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus makes use of parables in his teaching to help clarify the ground rules of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. If you are a baseball fan in the sport of baseball, there are ground rules for each of the parks. For example, at Wrigley Field in Chicago, a ball that gets lodged in the vines by the fence is an automatic ground rule double. If you have been following the World Series, there was a ground rule that came into play in the sixth game in the bottom of the ninth inning as the Blue Jays were set to make a comeback as they were down 3-1. The baseball got wedged under the outfield wall padding. Instead of scoring one or two runs, it was a ground rule double, and the runners had to return to second and third base. No runs scored, and they ended up losing the game. I did pay attention to last night's game as well. In these three parables of Matthew 25, Jesus is laying the ground rules for the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us the ground rules so we know how to live in this world so that we can have that joy at the end times when Jesus returns. The everlasting joy to live in the world to come. So the parable of the talents. A man goes on a journey. Simple statement, a man goes on a journey. If you've ever gone on a journey, you have to prepare to be gone. You have to pack and all that kind of good stuff, take care of things back home so while you're gone, things are all right. So he goes on a journey and he prepares for his property to be cared for while he's away. And he entrusts three servants with his property, three individual servants. He doesn't give all of his property to the three collectively, but he gives parts of his property to each of the three, says individual servants. To one, we know that he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. After giving out the talents, the man went on his journey. Now, before we go any further, we have to have somewhat of a modern-day understanding of the situation of the man and his servants. The servants in the day could be entrusted with considerable responsibility, and they had authority to make more with those talents. And then they could share in the profits and the well-being of their master. If you think in the Old Testament of Joseph, who rose up in authority and power in the household of Pharaoh. The man who went away, the master of the servants, while he was gone, he expected his servants to be good stewards of his possessions. He wanted them to care for his talents as he would care for his talents. They were expected to be prepared to perform their duty as his servants while he was away. And then there's the talents. The parable is often used to teach about our use of skills and abilities. However, in the New Testament, talents was a word of exchange, a unit of exchange. Gold, silver, copper. Each had its own value according to weight, and they were used as a unit of money in trade and barter and those kind of things. The amount of talent given to each of the three was most likely based on the ability of the individual servants. So while the man was away, in verse 16, the servant who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. That servant went at once. He was prompt in the expectations that his master had for him, and he put his money to work. He made it active. There was action involved. Verse 17, the servant who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. He also acted promptly and with action. And then the third servant in verse 18, the servant who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. He dug a hole and he buried it. After a long time, the master of the 3 servants returned. The servants did not know when he was going to return. So I imagine at least the first 2, maybe all 3 of them, they were watchful. They had to be waiting for that time, that day, when their master would be returning, because they knew that they would have to settle accounts with him. So they were watchful. It was a long time. The man was gone for a long time, and there was delay before the man returned. And when he returned, as the servants expected, he settled accounts with each of the 3. In verse 20, the man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. In verse 22, the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. In verses 24 and 25, then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And then the master settled the accounts with each of the 3. To the first 2 servants, they received praise. They had a promise of future blessing. They received words about joy and glory. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. They knew there was security in their future. Come and share your master's happiness. And then there's the 3rd servant. The Bible is not filled with stories where there is a happy ending in all situations. There is reality and there is truth. There was no praise, there was no blessing, there was no joy or glory for the 3rd servant. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. To think about that 3rd servant's description of the master, it's not favorable. He's known as a hard man. He's exploiting the labor of others. He put his servant in a difficult position. He was afraid because what happens if he tried to gain more and he lost it all? He knew that he would incur the wrath of his master, so he did nothing. He did nothing. And he also could have been upset because he was given less than the 1st 2 servants. That 3rd servant overlooked his responsibility to his master. He overlooked his obligation to discharge his assigned duties. And it betrays his lack of respect and honor of his master. And his lack of action results in judgment. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The meaning of the parable for us. Remember the purpose of the parable. Teaching about the end times. Laying the ground rules, preparing believers for the life to come, eternal life and the joy of God's heavenly kingdom. And Jesus wants his followers to be productive. He wants us to be productive with what we have. And what we have comes from God. He wants us to be good and wise stewards. What good is a fruit tree that does not produce fruit? We also must realize that God will judge our actions, and he will judge our lack of actions. So Christians are challenged to have drive, to have determination as servants in the kingdom of God. Ignoring the call to service is like a car that's transmission is stuck in neutral. The engine sounds good, the lights, the radio, the horn works. The car even has new tires. The only problem is the car is not going anywhere. That third servant is like a car struck in neutral. He had the talent. He was given the opportunity to put the talent to use. He had the ability, but he never moved towards being productive. He didn't go anywhere. So the truth of the parable is that God has called each of us to service. He has called each of us to labor for him, for the Lord. He has prepared us, he has equipped us, and he is sending us out. He has prepared us through Scripture. He has prepared us. He has equipped us with the resources and the abilities and talents and the funds that we have. And collectively and individually, he sends us out. Another story to share. Martha Berry was a lady with a vision to help children. She began a school for poor children. She had no books. She had no building. She had no money. But she had a plan. She had a dream. She went to Henry Ford to ask for a donation. Mr. Ford reached into his pocket and gave Martha Berry a dime. A dime. Most people would have been insulted. Here is this multimillionaire, and all he gave was a dime. But Martha took that dime, and she bought a packet of seeds, and she planted a garden. She raised a crop, sold the crop, and she bought more seeds. After several harvests, she had money enough to purchase an old building for the school. She returned to Mr. Ford and told him, "Look what your dime has done." Mr. Ford was so impressed with her initiative that he donated $1 million to Berry's school. Don't complain about God, what God has given you or what God has given to someone else. Be content, be happy with who God has made you to be, with your resources, your faith, your initiative. Each one of us has both the call and the ability to be a servant of the Lord. To his glory, amen.
Fear of the Lord includes honoring, worshiping, trusting, and serving the one true God. Let us do that with our morning tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come forward. our Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. We are so thankful that you sent your Son to pay our debts. We are mindful of the preparation and equipping that you have given to us. But we know that without you, we can do nothing. Please bless this offering as a token of our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like that analogy. Let's not be stuck in neutral. We've come today to worship and to praise Jesus. Our closing song says, "Rise up and praise him. He deserves our love. Not only that, he also desires our love, our worship, and our relationship with him." As we get ready to leave from this another week, may our praise go with us and the desire to deepen our relationship with Christ be carried into this week. Our closing song is "Rise Up and Praise Him." Following the spoken benediction, we will sing a song, a new one entitled "Benediction."
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the people of God sing his praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, come and lift your voice. All those on the mountaintop, be glad and shout for joy. Rise up and praise him. He deserves our love. Rise up and praise him. Worship the Holy
God of guidance and provision bless you this day, sending you forth to share the love and the grace and the care of Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the Lord